So I'm going to continue. This morning, read from third canto Bhagavatam, very nice section. Of course, what section is not? But Uddhava is speaking. Who is Uddhava? Who would like to say something about who is Uddhava?
Krishna's very dear friend in Dwarka.
Okay. Yes.
He's also an advisor to Krishna in Dwarka, and looks, his features are very similar to Krishna.
His features are very similar to Krishna. So similar to Krishna. So similar that when Uddhava came with a letter for the gopis from Krishna, the gopis thought that Krishna had come to Vrindavan. Because he's so similar. Then they were very disappointed it wasn't Krishna. But it was Uddhava with the message from Krishna. According to Brihat Bhagavatamrita, outside of Vrindavan, there is nobody, not one, even Arjuna, nobody as intimate with Krishna as Uddhava. Incredibly knowledgeable, as just described, he served as a minister. Krishna would go and ask him for advice. What should I do? Of course, it's Leela, because Krishna knows what to do. But in the Leela, it was so intimate. So much so that it was Uddhava that Krishna chose, not only to deliver the message to the gopis, but so that Uddhava could understand the mood of the residents in Vrindavan and how he was so captivated by their love because of that intimacy and the quality of their love for him. He wanted to train Uddhava up in Braja Prem. So he sent him. And when Krishna was going to leave, after the Kurukshetra battle was over, and Maharaj Yudhishthira was installed on the throne, everything was done. So Krishna was going to go back to Dwarka. And when Krishna went back to Dwarka, just as the Pandavas intuitively knew, Krishna's plan was to wind up his pastimes and leave the world. And Krishna informed Uddhava, I'm going to leave very soon. And when I leave, Kali Yuga will begin. And when Kali Yuga begins, not nice. Going to be very difficult. So I want you to be safe and protected. You go take association of the devotees of Naranarayan, Rishi, in the mountains of the Himalayas. Find them, take their association, you'll be safe. And the association of devotees, even in Kali Yuga, one can be protected and safe. Imagine hearing from your dearmost friend, Krishna, he's going to leave. So he was shattered, but he had an order from Krishna. It was his life and soul. So he tried to follow Krishna's order. He couldn't do it. He tried, he left, but then he couldn't stay there. So he left and went looking for Krishna. It's a little different than we're looking for Krishna. He was looking for Krishna. And Krishna was on the planet still. And he searched and searched and searched, and we're going to hear the description of... No, actually, it's earlier chapter. He found Krishna. And that's when Krishna spoke Uddhava Gita. And after Krishna spoke Uddhava Gita, Uddhava was alone in the forest, and also on pilgrimage, is Vidura. And Vidura, finding Uddhava, is very happy because Uddhava is so dear to Krishna, he can hear all about Krishna. So he wants to hear all about Krishna. He asks many questions about Krishna and the relatives of Krishna, the Yadu dynasty in Dwaraka. And Uddhava begins speaking, or he tries to begin speaking. He becomes overwhelmed with transcendental emotion. Not like crying crocodile tears. He was overwhelmed with ecstatic feelings of ecstasy and love of Krishna. His voice was choked, his whole body was stunned, his limbs were trembling, tears were streaming from his eyes. He wanted to speak. He couldn't speak. We discussed this morning. It's said by Shukadeva Goswami. He was in the spiritual world with Krishna, and he came back from the spiritual world, from Goloka Vrindavan, in order to be with Vidura and respond to his question. So he began speaking about the fact that Krishna had left. And he's entering deeply and deeply and deeply into the mood of separation from Krishna. And that's the section that we're reading from. Uddhava's feelings of separation from Krishna. So read text 12 from chapter 2 of canto 3. Uddhava says, "The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone. Even those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus, Sri Krishna's transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments." Uddhava likes to glorify Krishna and meditate upon Krishna and speak about Krishna and think about Krishna and Krishna, Krishna, anything Krishna he likes. So because he's so vastly learned and because he's such an intimate associate of Krishna, his speaking is superb. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport, I'll read. "In conformity with the Vedic hymns, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanash Chaitananam, the personality of Godhead is more excellent than all other living beings within all the universes in the material world. He is the chief of all living entities. No one can surpass him or be equal to him in wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, or renunciation." These are the six opulences that are described by Parashara Muni and Padma Purana, Vishnu Purana. And this is the distinction of Bhagavan. He's not just a great person. He is the Supreme Person. One of the Vedic identifications of the Supreme Person that Prabhupada would often speak about is paraphrased here also. Asamordva. It's made of two parts, Sama and Urdva. Sama means equal. And Urdva means greater. Like our tilak is called Urdva Pundram because it's pointing up. Or Urdvam Gachanti Sanvastha. Madhye Tishtanti Rajasa, Oh Gachanti Tamasa. From the modes of nature, one who is situated in the quality of goodness goes upwards. So, Krishna is asama and a-urdva. There's no one equal to him, and there's no one greater than him. That's Bhagavan. Someone may have some opulence, someone may be a good artist, but somewhere there's somebody that's a better artist. And ultimately, there is nobody better than the supreme artist, Krishna. Someone may have some beauty, someone may have some strength, someone, whatever they may have, Krishna has that in full, as Prabhupada would say. Who could say they have all riches? Somebody's wealthy. Somebody's more wealthy. Who is the wealthiest? The wealthiest is one who has all riches. And who can say they have all riches? Bhagavan has all riches. He's actually the proprietor of all wealth. And so on. So that's Krishna. When Lord Krishna was within this universe, he seemed to be just like a human being, because he appeared in a manner just suitable for his pastimes in the mortal world. What are the manner that's just suitable for his pastimes? He appeared in a form that is human-like. So some people think, oh, the followers of Krishna, they just imagine God to be like them. They even have a nice fancy name for it. Anthropomorphism. Ooh, anthropomorphism. Means that an ism is a belief. You have a belief or a conviction that man creates God in the image of man. He's like us. He's just like, you know, special edition. We just invent God for our, out of our fancy. But Scripture says just the other way around. Man is created in the image of God. And the image of God is with two arms and a head and one mouth, two ears. He has a human-like form. He has other forms also. A fish-like form and a tortoise-like form, etc. But his original form is human-like. And in that original form, because it's what Uddhava is saying, just suitable for his pastimes, he appears in his original form. Because again, God has unlimited forms, just like waves in the ocean. How many waves are there in the ocean? We can count them. Try to count them, and as soon as you counted them, there's more waves. And count those, more waves, and there's more waves, and it's unlimited. So the forms of the Lord are unlimited, but one of them is the original form, and so Uddhava's glorifying that Krishna just recently appeared in his original form, just suitable for the pastimes that he wished to exhibit. He did not appear in human society in his Vaikuntha feature with four hands, because that would not have been suitable for his pastimes, at least his pastimes as Krishna. How would it have been if he was in the crib of Mother Jasoda with four arms? Each of the arms carrying one of the symbols of Vishnu. Oh, my little Krishna. Wouldn't work. I'm going to chase you. I'm going to bind you with rope and scold you with a stick. That's not Mother Jasoda and Vishnu. It's Mother Jasoda and Krishna. So just suitable for his intimate pastimes, he appeared in his original form. But in spite of his appearing as a human being, no one was equal to or greater than him in any respect, in any of the six opulences. Everyone is more or less proud of his opulence in this world, but when Lord Krishna was in human society, he excelled all his contemporaries within the universe. So it wasn't just people on this planet. You know, there were persons that they were considering themselves Krishna's rivals. Shishupal, Kamsa, Jarasandha, and all the demons that were sent by Kamsa, mystical personalities, Putana, Shakatasara, Aristasara, this asura, that asura, challenging their capacity against Krishna's. But even beyond this realm, in the higher realm, the king of heaven was challenging Krishna. And Lord Brahma, in the topmost planet, the topmost position of all of creation, all of whom derive their powers from Krishna, were testing Krishna. And Krishna defeated the pride of them all. So Prabhupada writes, everyone is more or less proud of his opulence in this world. But when Lord Krishna was in human society, he excelled all his contemporaries within the universe. So he established his supremacy, not just his divinity, but his supremacy. The next topic in the next paragraph is it's a little deeper, because it's a little thought-provoking. Prabhupada is going to describe the difference between Krishna's prakat and aprakat lila, his manifest lila, and his lilas that are eternally going on, that are not manifest. His manifest lila are eternally going on in some universe. The example is sometimes given, like the sun in our present Earth planet, somewhere on Earth the sun is rising. And then going west some little distance, the sun is rising, the sun is rising, the sun is rising, the sun is rising, the sun. The sun is always rising. It's just the earth is turning. But the sun is rising, the sun is rising. So Krishna's lilas, they're also eternal. Krishna's appearing in the prison house of Kamsa, and Krishna is then taken by Vasudeva to Gokul. And Krishna is born, and Krishna is born, and Krishna is born. Krishna is never born any more than the sun is born. The sun is always there. But the lila of Krishna's appearing is eternally going on. You know, imagine he subdues the Kaliya serpent, and then he subdues the Kaliya serpent, and then he subdues the Kaliya serpent, and he subdues the Kaliya serpent. He defeats Arishtasura, and he defeats Arishtas. He's just like, it's pastimes that are eternal. It's just, they make their appearance and disappearance, as if in the phases of time. Future, present, and then past. But they're eternally going on. Sometimes manifest, and then sometimes not manifest, but when they're not manifest, they're eternally going on. And one who has the eyes to see, one who is covered by the deluding potency, but is within the grace of the internal potency, can see. Or if Krishna so desires to disclose, one can see. And there's many, many examples of our great acharyas where they see and they describe. So here's Prabhupada's writing. When the Lord's pastimes are visible to the human eye, they are called prakat. And when they are not visible, they are called aprakat. Different from apricots. You know what an apricot is? It's a kind of fruit. Looks like a peach a little bit. Apricot. This is different. This is aprakat, not manifest. In fact, the Lord's pastimes never stop, just as the sun never leaves the sky. The sun is always in its right orbit in the sky, but it sometimes is visible and sometimes invisible to our limited vision. Similarly, the pastimes of the Lord are always current in one universe or another, and when Lord Krishna disappeared from the transcendental abode of Dwarka, it was simply a disappearance from the eyes of the people there. It should not be misunderstood that his transcendental body, which is just suitable for the pastimes in the mortal world, is in any way inferior to his different expansions in the Vaikuntha lokas. Is that clear? Say it backwards. In the Vaikuntha loka, the personality Godhead Narayana clearly has a spiritual form. It's a forearm form, and it's a fully spiritual form. So, when Krishna appears, it's his original two-arm form, and same as when Lord Vishnu appears before Dhruva Maharaj, for example. He doesn't accept a material form. He shows his spiritual form. And when Krishna appeared in Mathura, then Vrindavan, then again Mathura and Dwarka, it was that original spiritual form. It was a mistake to think, oh, he's assumed a material form, because otherwise how could you see? How could you see a spiritual form? So it must have been a material form. But his spiritual form is no way inferior to the spiritual form of the Lord of Vaikuntha. In fact, the previous paragraph was indicating the superior nature of that form. His body manifested in the material world is transcendental par excellence, in the sense that his pastimes in the mortal world excel his mercy displayed in the Vaikuntha lokas. How is that? How is it that his mercy when Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, it was excelling the mercy found in the spiritual world of Vaikuntha? Sounds like it's better to be with Krishna in the material world than in this Vaikuntha spiritual realm. In one sense, yes. In another sense, whatever he wants is better. So why is it better? Why? How one can justify it's better? He's exhibiting more mercy. Rasika Manjari? You're volunteering? Anyone? Why more merciful?
Himangi? Because the demons and the Lord's stress in the material world, because the demons in the Krishna pastimes, the Lord's mercy is there.
That is, he's delivering demons.
No, because the devotees are in that mood because they are under stress and anxiety
but both ways work. One way is there are these terrible demons and Krishna mercifully delivers them. Whereas in the spiritual world there's no demons, so Krishna is not, he's being less merciful. He's being more merciful. He comes and delivers demons. But the way you're saying is, the devotees who are seeing these powerful demons and feeling great fear, Krishna came and delivered the devotees from that great fear. Yes?
Both.
Okay. What else? Nanda Vrindavan. Merciful. The question was, I'll read the sentence. Krishna's body manifested in the material world is transcendental par excellence, in the sense that his pastimes in the mortal world excel his mercy displayed in the Vaikuntha lokas. You've heard it so many times. I just have paralyzed you with asking you the question when you weren't ready. Yes.
So what is the sweetness of the madhurya?
Yeah.
Of Krishna that is more, I mean, that makes people feel that it's more reasonable to experience the sweetness of Krishna than
Now you say it in your own language.
I mean, the first thought that came to me was that if I couldn't have a moon desire, that means
yes.
More sweet. That to experience the love of the divine mother, yes, and expressions of.
What other moods?
Intimacy.
Intimacy. Now, in the Vaikuntha realm, all the rasas are also there. But it's with awe and reverence. And when Krishna appears in the material world, or actually when Krishna is in Goloka, that all the rasas are also there, but it's predominated by intimacy. So we can say madhurya. Madhurya has both meanings. It's conjugal rasa, but it's also the sweetness, the intimacy. So much so that although he's, as described, he exhibits his opulences as Bhagavan, all powerful, all beautiful, all knowledge, all fame, all renunciation, they don't see him as Bhagavan. They see him as in an intimate way. Like Uddhava sees him. He's advising Krishna, who he knows is the personality of Godhead. It's intimacy. So it's Krishna allows that when he comes and displays his pastimes in this world. Even more than the mercy in Vaikuntha. Because of the intimacy. And a further intimacy is that even ordinary people can see that. Even ordinary people, even envious people, they can see it, experience it. And the previous verse was explaining they see but they don't see, because there isn't the merit, there isn't the tapasya and punya and spiritual merit just to properly see, so they see wrongly. But still Krishna is exhibiting something very confidential to very ordinary people besides his devotees. Just anybody. Just happened to be around at that, you know, when Krishna appeared. Very merciful. Another is just, it's already stated, but rather than simply enjoying his pastimes in the spiritual realm, Krishna descends to attract all the conditioned souls. They can say no, but he comes to attract. So he's exhibiting mercy to attract back to their spiritual position. It's so merciful, Uddhava is appreciating. Just suitable for his pastimes, he appears in his original form, showing the fullness of the topmost planet of the spiritual world, very liberally to one and all. In the Vaikuntha Lokas, the Lord is merciful towards the liberated, or Nityamukta, living entities. But his pastimes in the mortal world, he is merciful even to the fallen souls who are Nitya Badha, or conditioned forever. The six opulences which he displayed in the mortal world by the agency of his internal potency, Yogamaya, are rare even in the Vaikuntha Lokas. And there's some amongst Krishna's pastimes that are especially merciful. It's described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in the different places where the Lord is residing. His darshan may be very restricted. For a short time he'll appear and then he'll return to his royal palace or something. But when Krishna appeared, he was all day long playing with cowherd boys. All day long. Every day. All day long. And some pastimes, he was 7 days and seven nights visible, nonstop. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in all fullness of intimacy by his lifting of Govardhan Hill. He was in so much ecstasy, he and the cowherd boys, they didn't even eat. Didn't sleep. Didn't drink water. Just enjoyed each other's company for 7 days and seven nights. Such a merciful exhibition of pastime. The excellence of his Rasa Leela at Vrindavan, and his householder life with 16,000 wives is wonderful even for Narayan and Vaikuntha. And is certainly so for other living entities within this mortal world. His pastimes are wonderful even for other incarnations of the Lord, such as Sri Ram, Vishringa, and Varaha. His opulence was so super excellent that his pastimes were adored even by the Lord of Vaikuntha, who is not different from Lord Krishna himself. Just like the pastime that's described in Dwarka when one Brahmin who resided in Dwarka, he had a number of sons, and just after each of his sons were born, they didn't die. They just disappeared. Just vanished. And he started feeling very disturbed. What kind of king is Uprasena? He can't even protect a brahmana. Some mystical something or other, and a pure Brahmin's son just disappears. And not just one. One after the next, after the next, after the next. So he began speaking badly about Ugrasena in Dwarka. Doesn't even just happen in Kali Yuga. Somebody takes some service to serve others and they start criticizing him. Hey, goes on. So, when Arjuna happened to be visiting in Dwarka at the time and heard this bad speaking about Ugrasena, he thought, I'm a member of the royal family, I should do something. So he went to the Brahmana, he promised the Brahmana, I'll make sure that your next son is protected. I'll do it with my own arms. Oh, mighty armed Arjuna, they say, so I'll show you. You let me know when the child is about to be born. I will personally come. The Brahmin felt reassured. And according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, when notice came to Arjuna, Arjuna came and he was so expert with his bow and arrows that he made an enclosure around the Brahmana's house that was impenetrable. Nobody could get in or out. Even the Brahmana couldn't get out. And when the child was born, immediately the child disappeared. Oh, the Brahmana said, just see the uselessness of this false bragging personality, oh best of Krishna's friends. Ooh. Because Arjuna had taken a vow that if there anything happens to your son, I will either find him or I'll give up my life. So he looked everywhere for the son of the Brahmana. Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere he could find him. So he decided to give up his life because he'd made this vow. And so he prepared the funeral pyre. The blazing fire was ready to enter into the fire, and Krishna stopped him. Arjuna, what are you doing? Stop, stop, stop. I know where the sons of the Brahmana are. I'll take you there. Let's go. Arjuna was very happy to go anywhere with Krishna. So this description, very detailed cosmic description of getting in a chariot that could travel in space, and the description is going from Dwarka through all the upper planetary systems beyond Swargaloka to Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Swargaloka, Satyaloka, and into the coverings of the universe, and through all the seven layers of the coverings of the universe. It was dark. So Krishna said, don't worry, my Sudarshan chakra will light up our travels. And then they entered beyond the coverings of the universe into the Brahma Jyoti, and it was just blindingly brilliant. And then they entered into the realm of Mahavishnu. Because Garbhadakshay Vishnu is within this universe, but beyond this universe there's the river Viraja and the vastness of the spiritual sky on the other side of the river Viraja, and Mahavishnu was waiting for Krishna and Arjuna to come. He said, I kidnapped them. I just wanted to get your darshan because I'm so busy with my service here I couldn't come to see you. I wanted to get your darshan. Here's the sons of the Brahmana. So back to the purport. Even the Lord of Vaikuntha, or in this case Mahavishnu, wishes to offer some service to and honor the personality Godhead. Although the expansions of Narayana and the expansions of Vishnu, they're plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions. Angsa and Kala are the terms in Sanskrit. They're expansions of Krishna, but Krishna's mercy and his magnanimity excel even the Lord of Vaikuntha. And they honor him in that way. I'll read one more verse, a short one. Uddhava is going to speak about the demigods. All the demigods from the upper, lower, and middle universal planetary systems assembled at the altar of the Rajasuya sacrifice performed by Maharaj Yudhisthira. After seeing the beautiful features of Lord Krishna, they all contemplated that he was the ultimate dexterous creation of Brahma. the creator of human beings. They were wrong. He wasn't the creation of Lord Brahma, but that's how they saw it. Purport. There was nothing comparable to the beautiful bodily features of Lord Krishna when he was present in this world. The most beautiful object in the material world may be compared to the blue lotus flower or the full moon in the sky, but even the lotus flower or the moon in the sky were defeated by the beauty of the bodily features of Lord Krishna. And this was certified by the demigods, the most beautiful living creatures in the universe. The demigods thought that Lord Krishna, like themselves, was also created by Lord Brahma, but in fact, Brahma was created by Lord Krishna. It was not within the power of Brahma to create the transcendental beauty of the Supreme Lord. No one is the creator of Krishna. Rather, he is the creator of everyone, as he says in Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. So, one of the philosophical things being established, and that Prabhupada doesn't fail to point our attention to, is the form of Krishna is not material. Because it's very easy to extend our conditioned conception when you think of God as a person, somehow it ends up he's doesn't have form. It's a very odd thing. Or if you show form, then persons think that can't be because form means material. I had this experience in book distribution for years where we would speak about the message of Bhagavad Gita, and you speak it in certain ways, like what people have heard, especially here in America, Judeo-Christian conception of a monotheistic God as the Supreme Person, who you pray to, and He hears your prayers, and He answers your prayers, and, you know, the notion is God is a person. But then you show them the book, and they go, oh, who's that? Say, oh, that's Krishna. Oh, no, it can't be. Somehow, God as a person can't be with spiritual form, because that means spiritual form, then you can't relate to it. It's a material form. God can't have a material form. Then He's a person without form, somehow. Not possible. You're a person with form, or imperson, without form, but not a person with form. Anyway, many times I've had that reaction from people looking at, like because we were regularly distributing Krishna book. They see the nice pictures on the cover and inside. They go, oh, who's that? Very beautiful. That's Krishna, huh? Sometimes they would say, he looks like a woman. Long hair. Beautiful features. Well, he's neither man nor woman. He's transcendental. Huh? But God has spiritual form. And He manifested that spiritual form. It's directly in the verse, the Sanskrit of the verses, but several times Uddhava is saying his spiritual form. By his spiritual potency manifested and performed spiritual, meaning material potencies can't do what Krishna did. What Krishna did with his spiritual potencies. So many things. Like, you know, manifesting a forearm form in the prison house of Kamsa and manifesting a little baby form. Who can do that with material potency? You can't make a hologram that does that. It's either one or the other. It's not both. Krishna's form is all spiritual. And Uddhava is appreciating that He's appreciating that the demigods couldn't properly understand. Same as the in the introductory verse, Muyanti Yat Surayaha. Dhamnas Venas Das Sarastakuhakam Satyam Param Dhimahi. The Bhagavatam is speaking about the absolute truth, who, in the presence of the demigods, they became bewildered. He's their worshipable Lord, but at the same time they became bewildered, thinking, oh, beautiful creation of Brahma. But ask Brahma. No. He's my father. Okay. Any discussion or questions on what we're reading? Yes?
When you were, I wanted to share something and also have a question. When you were sharing about your experience in book distribution, how people think God is a woman, I had a similar experience some years back. I had this picture of Lord Keshava who appeared in the front with the cover of Isopanishad as a desktop on my computer. And my manager came and he looked at that picture and said, "Is that your mother?" I said, "No, he's God." And he said, "Oh, is God a woman?" I said, "No, he's just very beautiful." He said, "Oh, that's the wrong motorway." So the question I had was, here you were sharing how something that's bewildering to my mind is how Lord Vishnu is, we hear he's the same as Krishna, but then he himself is very eager to meet Krishna and see him. So I was wondering if, and also yesterday I was talking to Madhava Maharaj and, you know, asking him about the shrines on his altar, and he said the one on the lower level was Narsingadev. I asked him what shrine it was. And he explained that that's Narsingadev from Nandagam, and his service is to protect Krishna and Balaram in Nandagam. So I was wondering if there are any other pastimes where the incarnations of Krishna and Krishna have pastimes together, much like this one, the one that you did.
Ram and Parashuram. Ram defeated Parashuram.
Parashuram isn't he considered a Satyavesh avatar?
But he's still an incarnation. There's some commentary by Jiva Goswami. No, excuse me, Rupa Goswami, in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, not commentary, in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, where the Matsya and the Kurma avatar have some correlation. Not necessarily that they, you know, they're present simultaneously, but there's some correlation of the flood, the devastation flood, and the falling of the earth planet. But I couldn't piece it together. I have to read it more carefully. Ravan, not exactly the same, but Ravan went to the abode of Bali because he wanted to have a nice fight. But Vaman was at the gate and he tried to crash the gate and Vaman let him have it, kick him. His foot, they went flying. So Bali was protected, he had promised. So that's the same time as Ram, Lila, and Vamana. He's contemporary. We know that Hanuman was present during the Pandavas' time, because there was an encounter with Bhima and Hanuman. I'm sure there's others. I spent some time thinking. Yes. You have something? Or just stretching? Just stretching. No question, no stretching. What are you doing? Okay. Yes.
In texts like this, when you're describing that the Lord is a spiritual form and it's very personal, something that always comes to my mind is that my focus goes on my impersonal attitude towards the Supreme Lord, because it's a very theoretical understanding that He has a spiritual form. And more I'm becoming aware that it's very deeply ingrained in personalism, like even when you're chanting, you know, two beats are like focus and the rest of it is unfocused. So how does that deep-rooted conditioning go away through the process, like diligently?
Yeah, how does purification take place by contact with the Supreme Pure and gradually? Because we're conditioned. It's true for scripture, it's true for deity worship, it's true for the holy name, true for the association of devotees, it's true for, you know, our understanding of, like we were discussing this morning, the conception of the soul, the conception of God. It's strongly ingrained, for sure. So, nirvishesha shunyavadi pastyatya. So the process is the process that Prabhupada gave for principally hearing and chanting, done in a proper way. Most effective means of eradicating that impersonal. And regularly Prabhupada would confront it. He wasn't shy about confronting impersonalism, or the tendencies in us to think that way, or the tendency in others to think that way. So we can take a hint, you know, we can confront our own tendencies. Challenge them. Is there merit in thinking this way? On what basis do we think this way? Yes. It's stated explicitly because this is what I'm most familiar within Christian scripture. Christ taught, there's so much more I have to tell, but you cannot bear to hear. Or another occasion is where he said, I am telling you of earthly things and you're not accepting what to speak of heavenly things. So, limited disclosure because the audience didn't have the capacity, time and circumstance.
So, when only when we hear in this epic succession can we actually take all this in the proper.
Yes. Because otherwise, the tendency to speculate, or specifically, the tendency to speculate in an impersonal way, twists everything out of shape. It becomes undiscernible. Like something as simple as Bhagavad Gita. People can take Bhagavad Gita and by the time they finish with it, you can't even recognize it. If you know what Bhagavad Gita is, you read what they've written and it's amazing how they got that. bold. Krishna says, and they say, don't. Krishna says, surrender unto me. Or Krishna says, think of me. And they say, don't think of Krishna. It means something else. Others? You have something else?
Yeah. Yeah, I just had a follow-up on that. So when we are talking with people from that different religion or
background,
different scriptural background, I was thinking, is it better to connect initially on the basis of the, like you were telling in the morning in the class, you know, answer the question on the basis of some common spiritual principles? Because they may not be able to take this kind of
yes and no. I mean, it depends on the person, it depends on who you are. I mean, in other words, what Prabhupada did was he didn't just leave it at that. He went the whole way. You know, on the one hand, he said one should not discuss pastimes of Krishna with common people, but on the other hand, he presented Krishna book in such a way that even common people could understand and appreciate it. And it's, you know, common people can understand and appreciate it. It can be done in a way that's attractive. But also Bhagavad Gita. I mean, Bhagavad Gita is a very important introductory book. One can take other introductory literature to introduce one to Bhagavad Gita, but when it comes to scriptural explanation, it starts with ethics, but it goes right away to transcendence. It doesn't wait. So how to give people a proper conception of the soul. Surveys show that vast majority of people in this country, 86% of the people in this country, believe in the soul. But what is it that they believe? Say they believe in. You ask them, what is the soul? Probably not get a very clear explanation from people. Certainly not something that's consistent. So that's something that there's a common thread, and one can begin with that. So that's certainly what Krishna does. Let's talk about the soul. The distinction between what is the soul, and what distinction between soul and what's temporary. And that'll take a while. To separate what a soul is from the covering, and then, you know, conceptually how that works. Anything else?
Yeah. Krishna appears in his original form once in a day of Rama.
Yes, he does.
The remaining in Kali Yuga's incarnations are of Mahavishnu. Krishna.
Can you hear in the back? It's your husband speaking. Krishna appears once in the day of Brahma. And the other times that there's an appearance, who is it that's appearing?
That is one.
Vasudeva. So it's a four-armed form of the Lord. And one can speak of them as incarnations of Vishnu. So one can think of them as Vishnu, or as we find in the Vaikuntha realm, the forms of Narayan, according to the position of the symbols of Vishnu, they're of different names, and Vasudeva is one of them.
So, when Vasudeva Krishna comes as Krishna, all the pastimes happen, like Ramadhar Leela.
That's right. Because the very first Leela after Krishna's appearance doesn't happen in the other 999 out of 100. Oops, out of 1,000. Yuga cycles. But the other 999, it's Vasudeva Krishna, and he performs Leela with Vasudeva and Devaki. But when it's this particular yuga cycle, he's carried by Vasudeva to the side of Yashoda, and this forearm form merges or enters into the body of original Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, because Krishna is the origin of all expansions. Okay.
Connecting to the point where Krishna's pastimes are eternally manifest, when Vasudeva Krishna comes as Krishna, this pastime of the Brahmin, where Arjuna tries to find where the boys, the sons of Brahmin went, also happens.
Why not?
So, the Krishna then will be Vasudeva Krishna going to.
Don't try to use your empirical faculties to understand Nitya Leela. Your hard drive will crash.
It's already crashing.
Eternal. Nitya Leela is Nitya Leela. And they appear to be worldly. They appear to be within time, but they're not any more than just Krishna's appearance. Just take Krishna's appearance, or Krishna's disappearance, the rising and the setting of the sun. It's Leela. Anything else?
I have something that's in my voice.
You have a few questions. Did you just type that in your typewriter? You have a favorite question out of the list here?
Last one.
Okay. What is it that I should be thinking while chanting, by which I would be deeply absorbed into the feeling for Krishna? There's a number of things. One of the initial things is abhinatvam namanamino, that you're the name you're directly associating with Krishna. When chanting Krishna's name, you're directly associating with Krishna. So, supposing Barack Obama decided to visit this apartment, and we got a phone call. He heard we're having a little Hare Krishna program. He wanted to come. Supposing. You know, would we be attentive or inattentive? And when he walks through the door, and yeah, very attentive. What to speak of God? And he comes even without an invitation. Just say his name. He's present. So one of the things to contemplate or be bringing attention to is the fact that the name of Krishna and Krishna are not different. That's the high thought. It's a transcendental thought. But it's a fact. And with that thought comes a lot of attention and the feeling of being a recipient of mercy.
But Krishna is there where if I don't chant. Whether I chant or not, he's there.
He's present. He's all pervasive in by his energies. He's all pervasive by his manifestation as Paramatma, but he's personally present in his Bhagavan feature just by calling his name. So let me be attentive. You could say, okay, I'll not chant, I'll just be attentive to the all-pervasive super soul. It's not effective. We don't have the faculty, we don't have the capacity. Therefore, even more than his feature of Paramatma, in his Bhagavan feature, he makes himself manifest even to a crippled person, crippled-minded person, a dull person, just by chanting. It's personal time with Krishna. That's something you can be thinking. And so be present with him when he comes in the form of his holy name. Attend to Krishna's presence.
What do I wish for Krishna's presence in my soul?
Say it again.
Why do I wish for Krishna's presence?
Why?
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, it's a natural circumstance, natural situation. Why would one care for one's father? This is one's eternal spiritual father. There's an eternal relation with him. And he is the reservoir of all pleasure. He's the reservoir of all rasa. He's the reservoir of all knowledge. Anything that I wish, he's the reservoir of.
Means I'm praying him because I would get something from him.
No, our completeness is accomplished by being with him, and not otherwise. The converse is by thinking oneself independent. One is incomplete. The sense, the feeling of incompleteness, even though I may not know why I'm feeling incomplete, that's why I'm feeling incomplete. Because of the disconnect, the absence of thought of Krishna. It's not, but so thought of Krishna, it's like an example that Prabhupada gives is someone has a fever. They have 101 fever. So, what's the remedy? Do you try to make your temperature zero?
No.
Do you try to make your temperature 102? No. You try to go to that which is normal temperature for the body, 98.6 at least Fahrenheit. So, I don't know what it is, Celsius. So, it's normal. It's natural. The soul has a natural, normal relationship with Krishna. But I've forgotten. Like amnesia. I deliberately turned my back on Krishna, and now so much conditioned by the modes of nature, I'm forgetful of that relationship with Krishna. I want to restore that relationship with Krishna. It's natural. It's the 98.6 position. It's not artificial. It's normal. It's natural. I'm not imposing something foreign onto myself. It's of my own nature to be in a relationship with Krishna. Now that's the description in Scripture. I may be forgetful of that, but I'm in acceptance of the authority of Scripture. I can accept. And now here's the means. Most readily available in the form of His holy name. So let me be attentive. Meditating on. So your question was, what do I think of while chanting? Think of hearing his name, and his name is none different than him. Something? No. Okay. Yes. No. Okay. Hare Krishna. You have something. Okay.
Over a period of time, I have adopted a lot of things in scriptures, in the knowledge I am receiving. But still, I don't feel any attachment to Krishna as such. So
no attachment for Krishna.
No feelings nothing. So, I mean, I have feelings, but those feelings are like awe and reverence.
Durdaivam idrisha mahajani dhanuraga. Lord Chaitanya prayed like that too, so you don't feel bad.
So what should we do on a day-to-day basis to develop this?
Trinadapi suniche. You know the verse? It's not, you know, cute. It's Lord Chaitanya's answer to that dilemma.
So by cultivating qualities, I will develop that.
We're developing that mood of, like his question of, what should I think of while chanting? What should be my mood towards Krishna when chanting Krishna's holy name? How should I internally direct myself in a certain mood? Mood of complete humility and service without any expectation of respect from others while I'm respecting all others. There's other things that one can say, but that's a nice, concise answer from Lord Chaitanya. If something is dry and you want it to be moist, you add water. And you can say, oh, it's not becoming moist. Keep adding water. It'll get moist. Oh, but it's so dry. Okay, keep adding water. It'll become moist. How do I make it moist? Keep adding water. This is like this, you know, it's not a different answer. Yeah, but I don't feel anything. Keep chanting. With faith. As you said, the premise was I feel I have some faith. But I don't feel anything. So our hearts are very hard. We're, as we heard earlier, we're very conditioned by impersonal tendency. Very conditioned. So, what to do? We work with what we have. We're cripple-minded and impersonal and hard-hearted and not feeling anything, mechanical. Some faith, but no. So you continue with faith in the process and bring your attention to Krishna. Continue to direct your attention to Krishna. Pray to Krishna, please capture my mind. Take my mind to you. You're entering into a prayerful mood of chanting while chanting. Things start to happen. At least you can say, I'm guessing that you can say this. From the time, before the time I began chanting to the present time, a lot has changed in my life. How I feel about things, my overall countenance and sense of contentment in life, and, you know, lessening disturbances and so many distractions, they're just not part of my life anymore. But I wish to go further. So something has happened, and continue, and something more will happen. But do so, it takes, you know, purposeful or, you know, conscious, deliberate effort to go further and go further and go further. And Krishna will help you in each of the steps. Even up to this point, it's Krishna's mercy, and the next steps, it's also Krishna's mercy while we're making some effort. And it's part of appreciating the loving relationship with Krishna that we're making continued effort but it's not our effort alone. It's Krishna's being very merciful and assisting. Then you have some feeling. Maybe just a little bit, but some feeling that Krishna is very merciful. Nurture that feeling. Chant with that feeling. And, you know, within your family, share with your family, share with the other devotees how I feel when being benefited. When that sense of having received something very wonderful is sitting, is touching your heart, the heart softens and you feel something. And chant with that feeling. It'll, the moistening will take place. Softening of heart will take place. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai.